Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
And so the then gives us the four necessary ingredients that are essential for life building: wisdom, fear, knowledge, understanding.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the scripture says about the four necessary ingredients for life in a sermon from 2014. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, four necessary ingredients for life.
Through scripture, I like to find progressions and listings, things God hates, the things that God loves. And I'm going to speak tonight on four needed ingredients in our life. Proverbs chapter 24 is not my text, but I was preaching on that one night. Through wisdom, a house is builded. Through knowledge, it is being continued. And by understanding, all the house is filled with knowledge and wisdom of the Lord. So you have the wisdom, knowledge, fear of the Lord, and understanding, four necessary ingredients. So as I was preaching on, through wisdom a house is established, through knowledge all the chambers shall be filled, I finished, and a man came up afterwards. He said, I agree, we need the fear of the Lord and wisdom and knowledge and understanding, but you never said, how do we get it? And I think I have a Bible answer for that. And at that particular time, I had a personal project of memorizing the book of Proverbs. And I would set, like, January 1, it'd be Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1. January 2, Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1. So in January, I memorized all the verse 1s. In February, all the verse 2s. And March, all the verse 3s. And so by the end of the year, you would have 12 verses memorized in each chapter. And I would jot that down, and I had probably memorized through the verse 8s by then. So I went to Proverbs 2, and I quoted a passage to him, and that's what I want us to look at tonight. And it is a conditional clause. Chapter 2, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4 are all one sentence, and it begins with this conditional clause, if. It's an instruction to the son, my son, if. And that conditional clause goes on through verse 4, and then the fulfilling of that condition is given in verses 5 and 6. And so I quoted that to him, and I said, I believe this progression gives us, how do we get these necessary ingredients? The fear of the Lord, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. And when we think of how valuable these things are, for example, just take wisdom. Solomon had an opportunity as he became king. God says, Solomon, I will give you whatever you want. What did Solomon request? Wisdom. I mean, if God woke you up in the middle of the night tonight, and you knew it was God talking to you, and he says, I'm going to give you anything that you ask, what would be the first thing on your mind? How about 10 mil? That'll get me started to get my bills taken care of and get new tires on the car. Would your first thought be, God, wisdom? Why do you think Solomon chose that? His father David pounded in his head, Solomon, with all of your getting it, understanding, wisdom is the chief thing. Have that above everything else. Job says it's more precious than gold and silver, and all of the treasures that are to be mined do not outvalue wisdom. So just take that one ingredient. And the fear of the Lord and knowledge and understanding. So I'm going to take the verbs that go through. When I memorize scripture, I like to memorize around the verbs. If I memorize the verb, I can memorize the activity that goes on around that verb. I find it one of my easiest ways to memorize passages. If I get the activity of that passage, I can attach the nouns and the rest of it to that. So I'm going to start, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. So number one, I concentrate on getting the word of God in. Paul instructed Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So the conditional clause says, if you will receive my words. Now, there are many ways that we receive the word. One way, obviously, would be reading. You have tapes. When my wife and I travel, we have the Bible on disc. And I will listen, and we will put, and oftentimes we'll carry a commentary that will be covering that particular portion of Scripture, so that if we think, let's look more detail into that. And I can do about two chapters at a time when I'm driving, because I'll see a Cracker Barrel sign and I'll smell biscuits and I lose all my focus and concentration. And so to stay focused like that, but you can listen through a lot of Scripture in a period of time. What are some other ways we can receive the word? Think of that. How do we receive the word? What are some other ways? Well, your personal reading, you can listen on disc. What are some other ways you receive the word? Preaching. Being in God's house, being under the preaching, the teaching of the word. Whether it's a Sunday school class, whether it's a small group study, whatever that might be, whatever that situation is, we are instructed to receive. So however you do that, then the next verb is, and hide my commandments with thee. Now, what is the difference between receiving and hiding? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, what is the difference between receiving the word and hiding the word? Because these are the two steps of getting the truth in. And I do hope you have some type of memorization program as a believer. I appreciate what she said. Thank the Lord for scripture that was already in her. Because when you get all muddled up, that word comes back. And so the difference between receiving and hiding is what? Meditation, where you take that word, now I get it in, now I begin to chew on that. I hide it in my heart. Psalm chapter 1, who is blessable? Who is able to sing the Psalter? Psalm chapter 1, Psalms is the Psalter of the nation of Israel. And chapter 1 is those who are qualified to sing. And the first is negative. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate both day and night. For then shall his way be prosperous, and then shall he have good success. And so his leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. That's a powerful promise that we have in Scripture. And so you go beyond just hearing and receiving it in the head. Now you begin to chew on that. You begin to meditate on that. So it really becomes a vital part of your life. In Joshua chapter 1, when God had anointed Joshua years ahead, and then finally Moses was gone, Joshua takes over, and God gave Joshua three things. I'll give you the promise of the land, Joshua, like I did Moses. I will give you the power of the law, and I will give you my presence. This, and Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, for thou shalt meditate in it. And what will happen? God will give prosperity on the way. And there is that hiding of that word in the heart. And I hope you are in some way, shape, or form working on some type of memorization program. I remember one time years ago as a youth pastor, we had rented some Gestapo-type uniforms, and I had some of our older young people posted at the doors. Young people coming in, I had them confiscate their Bibles. Took their Bibles, so they went into youth meeting, and they didn't have Bible. And then we went through the part. I said, now let's suppose this was permanent. And the only thing you have left of the Word is what you had put inside in a permanent bank. How much could we recall of that Word? How much could we reconstruct of that Word? And it's a good reminder for us to do that. So in step number one, getting the truth of God's Word into me. And whatever that is, that's why it's so necessary for us to do that. Verse 2, continue the verb, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Inclining means I am leaning that direction. You'll see that repeated again in chapter 6. And you will see the leaning. David said, I heard, or Solomon said, I would hear, and then I would lean that direction. And then apply thine heart to understanding. So this is the step calling out. I get it in, then I work it out. Step one is study. Step two is obedience. So I hear it, I incline it, I lean that way, and then I apply what I am hearing. People love Bible conferences, but they don't always love Bible application, where I want to have that built into my heart and into my life, so that you hear the Word and you say, okay, God, I'm leaning your way on that. And because I'm leaning your way, I'm going to apply to my heart, how am I going to live the truth that I just learned? Now, let's suppose you hear a message on witnessing, and you're challenged if you have a lost neighbor. And you say, by God's grace, by this Sunday, I will have given the gospel to that neighbor. And so you determined, okay, now I'm going to do that. And I am now, I lean that way. I'm going to apply that truth, and I'm going to go out and give the gospel to that neighbor. Or let's suppose that there was a fundraiser going on to build a $15 million new auditorium. And so we're going to need probably $500,000 from each of you adults. No, you say, well, I don't think I can obey that. But yet a mission speaker comes along and you say, are you giving sacrificially? Okay, now you're hearing the truth. You hear the attitude of it. And now the question is, how much will I apply to that? I might hear a challenge on prayer. So I'm hearing the truth. Now I have to determine, am I going to obey that truth? Am I going to apply that truth to my life? That's why when I hear preaching, I always have my take notes, and I write projects to myself in the side. The Spirit of God will speak, and I say, okay, I need to write a letter. I need to write a thank you. I need to write something. And there are times you don't hear voices. But there are times when you feel definitely prompted that the Lord would have you to do something. And you apply the truth, okay, it's giving to be a strength and a blessing to some others. I remember one time my wife and I, we were getting ready as a family to go on a trip. And I felt very strongly in my heart that we needed to write a check to a ministry couple. And she said, well, can we do it? And I said, no, I think we need to get it written now, and let's get that sent in the mail. And I named the amount that we needed to do. And so there were many, many weeks after that. We got to this ministry where these folks were, and the wife came to Charlene and me and said, I want to thank you for sending us. She said, I had just developed a complaining spirit. She said, we're working. It was in a camp ministry. She said, we're working in this camp ministry, and we don't even have enough money to go out to eat. Other couples are going out to eat. We don't have any. And said, God, would you just send us enough money to go to eat? And the note that I wrote to this couple, I specified, you need this to take your wife out to eat. And I was so glad that I applied the truth of giving. And then I thought, okay, who can I help? And that couple came to my mind. And God had that. I'm sure that's happened to you on more than one occasion where you have been prompted and you apply the truth and you get the blessing of obedience. So step number one, get the truth in. Step number two, work the truth out. Now let's look in verse 3. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Now you have two verbs here, cry and lift. What direction is this? It is upward. So that's the pray step. Number one, study. Number two, obey. Number three, pray. Now, normally, you will automatically pray when you determine to obey a truth that you've heard. For example, if you obey the truth to go and give the gospel, and you will be praying. Okay, you're going to go and give the gospel to your neighbor. And after you eat supper, you and your wife head out and go into that yard, go up that sidewalk, and you're praying. Oh, God, in your mercy, let them not be home. Or I don't know what you're praying, but you're praying something. But what happens? When you do what is beyond what is your comfort level of obedience, you will find yourself automatically driven up to pray. And that's what God wants. God loves that when we are dependent on him. He loves it when we transfer that burden to him. And then we start crying. And there again, as I mentioned this morning, there is a difference between just praying and crying. And this is a very sincere request. And you lift up your voice for understanding. So that step of upward, crying, praying. And as I said this morning, prayer is adoration for who God is and what he does. Prayer is agreement about what I am. And then that's what confession is. And then it is asking. And there's where you have intercession for others, petition for yourself. And you find yourself in your prayer time as you go through your intercession list. And as you go through your petitions, that comes after there has been a time of adoration and confession. And so you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding. You're praying for wisdom. You're praying for understanding. Then, verse 4, that conditional clause continues. It's still one sentence. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasure. So now you go to seeking and searching. This is the downward digging for treasure. I hear the word, I get it in. I apply and incline, I work it out. As I'm working it out, I realize I can't, I am driven up. As I'm driven up, there's a greater intimacy. I go down for more. I go for more treasure. I'm no longer satisfied with a surface find. And I find the treasure that is in the word and the value of that which is diggable for us to do. I was speaking to a group of teenagers, and I was going through the value of digging into the word. And I said, let's suppose I inherited $100 million before I came to speak at this leadership conference. And I decided whoever comes, I'm going to get the teenager's name, I'm going to get their address. Because they were willing to sacrifice to be here, I'm going to give each of them $1 million as a starter. And so I get up and I said, in your yard back home somewhere there is buried in a container $1 million. But there's an issue. You're going to have to wait for 2 weeks to get home. And I said, some of you probably would think, mom's doing the dishes all by herself back home and I've left that heavy load on her. And I said, some of you would be thinking reasons why you need to get home. But I said, but if you waited the 2 weeks, you would get home, you'd bypass the hug and the kiss, and you'd go straight in your backyard looking for any stirred up dirt. Or would you just get home and say, there's $1 million buried back there. It's mine. I just need to find it. So let me see. I think September, I'm going to have a goal in September of dig for dollars in September. That's going to kind of be my theme. Well, you get so busy. I said, you get tied up with school and soccer practice. You don't get there all October. Okay, I'm going to get a new theme for October. I'm going to find that money. And then pretty soon you're almost into December and still have not had time. I said, that would not happen. Because you would get home realizing $1 million could be in my hand if I find where it's buried. And I said, you know what? You have something on your lap. And we take it as though it's nothing. And you read the scriptures, it's more than gold, it's more than silver, and it's more than treasure. And we just take it very casually. Because what we're holding in our hands, or what is sitting on your lap, is the treasure of the truth of God's word. And I said, in your young years, take this word, meditate on it. Do it before you have hardening of the arteries. Those of you who are a little older, you remember how easy it used to be to memorize? Now when you memorize, you think, oh, what chapter was I in? And now, where's my Bible? And so you start to search, and you have to be helped on every single word. Do it while you're young, but still do it. But folks, do we really understand the treasure that really we have? The wealth. Why would David have told Solomon? And Solomon repeated in Proverbs 4, my father told me, son, above everything in life, have wisdom. And when God said, Solomon, I'm going to give you anything you want, the first thing came out of his mouth was wisdom. I want wisdom. Now, I get it in, receive, hide. I incline, apply. I lift up, cry. I dig, I search, seek. Now what happens? Look in verse 5, the beginning of the answer to that conditional clause. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. Element number one. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. And find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. If, then. And so the then gives us the four necessary ingredients that are essential for life building. Wisdom, fear, knowledge, understanding. The very things that we need to function in life. The very things that we need to function through tough decisions, through job application every day, through getting our own inner man settled as we get into the word. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. Find the knowledge of God. For he gives wisdom. And out of his mouth is knowledge and understanding. And so I told this man, I said, you know, I think that passage that I had memorized, I think answers your question. Through wisdom is a house builded through knowledge. It is established, and all the chambers are filled with all the pleasant riches. Fear, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Things that have to be done in life. So get it in, work it out, lift up, cry, dig down for more, get more in. And every time that cycle is repeated, every time that progression is done, more wisdom, more fear, more knowledge, more understanding. But we really have to believe that's what the word will do for us. And some of you might want to take on a project. One project would be memorizing Psalm 119. That can be done in 6 months, a verse a day. There are 22 eight-verse sections. And so you take 22 next 22 weeks, take a verse a day, and then one day take two verses. And so you would have that application made. And what is Psalm 119? What basically is it addressing? It's the word. All but one verse, or maybe two, are all dealing with what the word of God will do for you. And that could be a good one verse a day project. And all you have to do is have that written down and have it handy to glance at or meditate on during that time. And you have the 22 sections, and then you take each of the next 22 weeks and memorize that. And the other one is a two and a half year project, memorizing the book of Proverbs. Just a proverb a day, one verse a day. And so you take that, you write it down, and you keep it handy so you can glance at it. You will not be able to quote Proverbs from chapter 1 all the way to the end. But you will have it all in your bank. And when discussions come up, your mind is scanning, and boom, it comes up there. There's that answer. That's the answer. That's the answer. Because the benefit of both Psalm 119 and the benefit of Proverbs is the fact that you have so many references to every other part of the Word of God that is a part of that for you. So those are just a couple personal challenges you might want to consider just for your own little personal. I had one of my manna books, and all of it, one of them was just Psalm 119. Another one was just Proverbs. And I still have those raggedy books that I look through because it became my own personal commentary. And for Proverbs, I use Bridges' commentary on Proverbs. And so each day when I would have time on the verse I was memorizing, I would read Bridges' commentary on that particular insight, and then I would have those thoughts written down. And it's unbelievable how many discussions would come up and how many of the truths from those chapters and passages would pop out. I do hope we understand the treasure that we're dealing with. I'm afraid we take it too much for granted. I'm saying me as well. And we don't see the treasure that's involved, that we have, that we hold, and that we should be treasuring so dearly.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today. Dr. Les Olala speaking on the four necessary ingredients for life. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.